Hello and welcome to Beyond the Back Page on Neo FM with myself, Patrick Donoghue. On the show today, I'll be speaking to Shamrock Rovers player Roberto Lopez, who will reflect on his side's recent FAI Cup success. And later in the show, we will have a preview of some of the sporting events coming up over the weekend. But first of all, on the show, at the weekend, I caught up with Shamrock Rovers player Roberto Lopez, who shared his thoughts on their success in winning the FAI Cup. So I'll just play this interview out now. Shamrock Rovers ended their long wait for FAI Cup final success last Sunday when they won their first FAI Cup final since 1987 after defeating Dundalk in the Aviva Stadium. The man of match in the game was Roberto Lopez, and I'm delighted to say that joining us on the line is Roberto Lopez. Roberto, thanks a million for joining us.
No problem at all, Patrick. Good to be on it.
So, Roberto, it's been quite a week. It was a long wait for Shamrock Rovers to get that cup final success. How has the last week been for you?
It's been absolutely incredible, I have to say. The emotion of winning the game and the aftermath of that, but just the events that have been going on following that, like obviously going, putting the trophy around the club and pubs and seeing all the fans there. I got to bring it back to my old school yesterday, and that was fantastic just to see all the pictures and the young pupils and Rovers fans, just what it meant to them and what it meant to everybody that we kind of brought the trophy down there. It's just been incredible.
And has the last week just cemented kind of what it means to supporters? Because I guess when you're in preparing for the game, you're so focused on the game, you don't really get to realise how much it means to supporters. So has this week really kind of surprised you how big of a deal it is to the supporters?
Definitely, yeah. It didn't really set in until Monday or Tuesday, because like obviously you're delighted that you won the game, and as players, like, it's great to get trophies and medals to your game, but like normally you play the match and that's sort of it. But one day when we struggled to walk to the Abbey Court and then the town you're in, and the fans turned out in the hundreds still just to go to the pub and see the cup, and then when you catch them on their left, they had a few words, it's brilliant, because it really shows it, you sit there and how big a deal this is, and it really opened my eyes and just really taken back by how much it meant to everybody, and proud of winning this cup now.
And what's going back to the game itself, what struck me at the game was how well you've recovered, because it was such a hammer blow, get Michael Duffy getting that late goal when it looked like you had the win. What was said? Really, I was impressed at how calm you were into the extra time. So what was said amongst yourselves and the manager to kind of get your composure going into extra time?
Yeah, well, we didn't try and dress up. I think that was the main thing after the game. You know, it was really hard to take. We were all a bit shocked. That was said, and I know the managers, the staff and all the players are trying to counter it. I really remember the real brother and like in the group was going, look, let's not try and dress up. We're shocked. We're shocked. It happens. We need to dig in here now for the next 5 or 10 minutes and regroup, and then obviously finish the extra time off strong, which I thought did. Like, that was really important, like, just to kind of accept it, because we're still kind of like, you could get win the time up pretty early, because Dundalk are a fantastic team and you can get a goal out of anything. So we really tried to sit and go, look, I can hold on now for 5 or 10 minutes, regroup, and we'll get back into the game, which I thought we did. So that was really important that we just accepted it happened, because we're still out on it. As I say, you get caught on the bus.
Yeah, and your season, you've had an excellent season. How you must be delighted about how you performed this season.
Yeah, it's been incredible. I don't really tend too much because obviously it happened throughout the season. I think we had a terrific European, probably looking to go for. We played a great game in Limassol, and then the international call up pretty much came out of nowhere, and I saw that coming. Like, and that was an unbelievable experience for me. And then to cap it all off with the FAI Cup, like, it's been brilliant. Like, and again, like, it's going to be probably one of my most memorable seasons ever. If you had asked me at the start of the season, would he have achieved? So it wouldn't say any wildest dreams, but again, yeah, it'd be probably something I'd be thinking about over Christmas, but it's been great.
Yeah, and you mentioned Europe there, Roberto. You said some great nights this season in Europe, and you just fell short. Where do you think you qualified, of course, for next year? Where do you think you can improve to kind of get up to another level and get another major scalp maybe next year?
I think we need to reflect, obviously, upon certain games where we probably didn't hit peak performances, or were games we were playing really well in, but just couldn't get to go, no matter to win. Like, will we drop points? We shouldn't drop points, but that'll be all we've done next year. Because I'm sure the management team will be looking at ways to sort of, like, how can we improve? How can we get that? I'm sure he might look to add one or two, just to kind of keep the competition high and obviously give us that extra bit of quality what we need. But us as players, I think we need to recognise the games that we probably let ourselves down in and realise what we did wrong, and maybe talk about amongst ourselves how we can do better and get something out of these games, because like, it's fine margins this year between losing the league or going out in Europe, and I think we'll be looking to address them.
Yeah, and it's been quite a year for you, and to cap it all off, you were called up to the Cape Verde national team. Can you tell us a little bit about that? How did that call up to the international team come about?
Yeah, to be honest, Patrick, I remember, like, I'm on LinkedIn, I've been on LinkedIn since I'm in college, but don't really use it that much. And then I remember connecting with Ruby Archer's Cape Verde manager at the time, and this was sometime last year, and I got to view his profile. I was like, oh, that's very interesting. Like, and I got like a welcome message, well, like what I thought was a message in his, and he just kind of like, took no notice of it. And then, say, a few weeks before the squad was sent, he texted me English saying, did you think about it? And of course, I translated the message right away there to see what it said. And he said they're looking at getting new players to the setup. Would they be interested in getting there? And of course, I would have apologised first and foremost for not coming back to his message. I explained I don't understand Portuguese and that I'd love to be involved if that was possible. And from there, the three really got the ball. And enough, I got all the documentation on time. And I was looking to be picked in the squad for experience. And against Hull, Marseille, it's something I forget.
Yeah, and how was that international debut? How much did you enjoy it?
Again, it's funny, like at the time, at the normal performance, I wasn't really thinking about performance. I just wanted to obviously give it me all, and like, I wasn't really making much of here. Are we doing well? It's just like, go out and do what I normally do, try to prepare for the game, like defending the game, and do it like on the pitch. And it was only really afterwards again that it hit me. I was just like, I'm not making international debut. This is incredible. And obviously all the messages from my family and afterwards, they were so proud, and to hear from them and see what it meant to them as well, it just made me so happy and so proud to represent my family.
Yeah, and can you just tell us, Roberto, how do you qualify to play for Cape Verde?
My father is from Cape Verde. Carlos, he's from there. He left there when he was 16, and his granddad is still down there with a few uncles as well. And then he met both an auntie, so I'm the only cousin, and I'm sorry, he's possible to send me to Cape Verde.
And growing up, were you did you much awareness, or did your father talk much about that side of your heritage?
Yeah, to be fair, like, just, we have a map right there, but didn't have that since I was little, like, so we always knew about it, does Roberto come from, like, because there's not many Roberto's around from it. He said on your dad's one, to ask you questions, he told him, your dad questions, what it is, what was that, Andrew, and then twice together, family, like, as well, so, always knew about them.
Yeah, and I know Cape Verde, they're going to be competing in the qualifiers for the African Cup of Nations. Are you hoping to get involved or being picked for the squads there?
Yeah, no, they think they named the squad there a few days ago.
Right.
And, unfortunately, I wasn't in it. Like, so, look, I've got to keep the head down, walking ahead, and hopefully it will come up again. Like, so, yeah, I wish them all the best following the game as well, because like, it's a great game. I'm just looking forward, hopefully, for the next opportunity.
Yeah, hopefully. You'll have add a few more international caps. I was reading an interview you did with one of the papers during the week, Roberto, and you were talking about making the transition. You used to work in a bank. How have you found making the transition from you used to play part-time and work full-time. How have you found the transition of moving into full-time football with Shamrock Rovers?
It's been brilliant. Like, it really has been. I wouldn't say it's easy. Like, it's a force to kind of, like, you're going into a new environment, new setup, and you're just kind of, like, you nearly have to let yourself go, because you're used to having your routine of work and go and train after, but you kind of have to like forget all that and just put all your focus and in the football. I did, and the club made it so easy to do, because they give everything in the training regard for training abilities, coaching, and anything extra they have it like for you. But yeah, obviously, like I was football, like, so it was a no-brainer for me to do it, and obviously I always wanted to put me all into it and see if it came from it, like, and being able to get the opportunity. It's been fantastic, and it's probably one of the best I've ever met.
Yeah, and it's now pre-season. You must be absolutely really, really looking forward to next season at this stage.
Yeah, definitely. As we finish the season on a real high, obviously we're going to enjoy our break now, because the players deserve it. Like, so we have a few weeks, and obviously ourselves at the tank at time, and then we're back in the gym and on the pitch. We'll be working hard with the focus on obviously going from now next year and really get running. Like, I think the highs of this year will definitely motivate now to next year and do some more good, great things.
Listen, Roberto, thanks a million for joining us. Congratulations on your performance and man of the match performance, as I said, and congratulations on your success this year, and thanks a million for joining us this evening.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
Just before we wrap up the show this evening, I'm just going to have a run through of some of the sporting events coming up. And of course, it's a massive, massive few days for the Irish football team. Starting tonight, a friendly against New Zealand, the All Whites, as they're called. That's quarter to eight in the Aviva Stadium. And a game, I suppose, of no importance in terms of points, but it'll be interesting. Mick McCarthy has indicated he's going to give a start to players like Troy Parrott and Leo O'Connor. So it'll be interesting to see future stars. And of course, Shamrock Rovers star Jack Bourne is tipped to start that game as well, so it'll be interesting to see. Maybe we'll be seeing some stars for the future tonight in the Viva Stadium. But of course, the big one is next Monday, do or die, Ireland against Denmark. It's quite simple, really. Ireland have to beat Denmark to qualify automatically to the European Championships. It would be a real shame if we do miss the party, because as many of you are aware, the games take place in Dublin this year. So hopefully we'll have something to shout about. That is on Monday, 7:45, Aviva Stadium. And also next Tuesday, the Irish under-21s are in action. they're playing Sweden in Tala. That's 8 p.m. Getting fairly full houses so far for them under 21 matches, but Stephen Kenny really has a buzz of excitement with these his U team, and of course Stephen Kenny will take over the international team after Mick McCarthy. Hopefully Mick McCarthy successfully qualifies us for the European Championships. Now there is permutations. If we do lose out or don't beat Denmark, we might get to a playoff. But I think hopefully everyone will just want to get the job done on Monday. And we certainly owe Denmark one after their they comprehensively beat us in that World Cup playoff last year. So time will tell. So that's a massive, massive game on Monday. Other international matches to look out for over the weekend. On Saturday, Cyprus hosts Scotland. That's at 2 p.m. Azerbaijan will host Wales. That's at 5 p.m. And Northern Ireland, a massive game for them. They actually have been very good in their group. They will host Netherlands at 7:45. And of course, Northern Ireland were rocked last week by the news that Michael O'Neill will take over at Stoke. He's already took over the job. He's going to see out this campaign with Northern Ireland. So he's done a great job for them. So that's a massive, massive blow for them. And on Sunday, Kosovo will host England. And turning to rugby, it's European Cup rugby. The provinces will be trying a lot of players after the disappointment of Ireland losing out comprehensively to New Zealand in quarter final action. They'll be hoping to rectify and I suppose a lot of hurt, and there'll be a hangover after that. But it's European Cup action over the weekend, and for the Irish provinces, first out is Ulster at 1 p.m. on Saturday. They are away to Bath, and other games to look out for: Leinster home to Benetton, 3:15. Ospreys and Munster, that's 5:30 on Saturday. And the final game involving the Irish provinces will be Connacht and Montpellier. That's at 1 p.m. Connacht returning to the played the Challenge Cup the last few years, so returning to the Premier European competition. So that's pretty much my lot for this evening. For more sport on Near FM, you can tune in to Fergus Carroll. He'll have his usual Saturday sports show. That's at 10:30 on Saturday, and at 8 p.m. on Sunday he'll have the results of the weekend. No doubt Fergus will have, he's a keen Leinster supporter, so he'll have a more comprehensive preview of Leinster's match over the weekend, and he will look ahead to Leinster's season. So they've started fairly well in the Pro 14, so hopefully they can keep that going, and hopefully it will be a good year for all Irish provinces. You can listen back to any of our previous shows by, if you search the Near FM page and search Beyond the Back page, you can listen back to any of our previous interviews done. We've had some really, really good interviews over the past year and a half. So please, please, please. Also, if you want to get in touch with this show, we're on all the usual social media channels. We're on Twitter, on Beyond the Back page. So if you have any comments, good, bad or indifferent, we always welcome feedback. So please, please get in touch with the station if you want to. Any potential guests, please, please suggest it. Over the next few weeks on the show, with the Christmas period coming up, we're going to feature some of the best sports books of the year. So I've been reading, of the last few weeks, I've been reading a lot of good sports books. We have featured some really, really excellent sport books over the year. So there's a couple of really, really excellent books out at the moment. So we might, the plan for the next few weeks as it gets to the Christmas period is to feature interviews with authors that have wrote sporting books. So I'll keep you posted with that over the next couple of weeks. So if you're looking for gift ideas for the sports lover in your life, you tune in over the next few weeks and we'll be talking to a few authors who've wrote sporting books over the next few weeks. But that's to come. But that's basically it for this evening. Sincere word of thanks to Roberto Lopez for joining us this evening, reflecting on Shamrock Rovers' great success in winning the FAI Cup. Hard to believe it took them so long, but that added to the celebration. So I was down at that game and there was great celebrations in the Viva Stadium that day. So hopefully next Monday we will be also have a lot to shout at, a shout for when the Republic of Ireland take Denmark. But that's it for this week. Thanks a million for tuning in and I'll talk to you at the same time next week.